The following is an exclusive presentation of WI Garden Media, the voice of Garden Talk Radio. Coming up on the program today, we're going to talk about how you can properly start your leeks and onions for the best success next spring, as well as getting to know Holly and myself. Our guest will be author Robert Couric, and we've got some thank yous to dish out. It's our final show of Season 5, and we're going to start right now.
You are listening to the most informationally packed hour of garden-focused radio in the country and on the internet with your host, husband and wife team Joey and Holly Baird. This is the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
Welcome to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. Happy you're joining us for our very last show of Season 5. We'll get more information on that to you in a few minutes. I'm your host, Joey Baird. Beside me is my wife, co-host, best friend, and gardening partner,
Holly Baird.
This program is about you, for you, to help your garden grow better, maintain that landscape, grow healthier trees, make your grass look greener, as well as preserving what you grow. If you want to get a hold of us during the program, you can certainly do that by giving us a call at 1-800-927-SHOW. That's 1-800-927-SHOW, 1-800-927-7469. Note, that number will still be open and available throughout our off-season. More information on that in Segment 4, as well as our email address, gardentalkradio@gmail.com, will also be available. Anytime you've got a question, gardentalkradio@gmail.com. And whether you're listening to us on one of the 15 radio frequencies that are broadcasting our program here in 2021, through a radio app, through our parent website, the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com, under the Season 5 tab at the top of the page, or in-studio video replay, or podcast replay, we thank you for that. We're going to dive right in the show and get into topic one, which is starting onions and leeks. Now, we are covering this topic not because it's ready to plant or start your onions and leeks, but because our program begins in March across the country, and typically in most areas in the northern portions of the United States, onions and leeks need to be started in January, or 10 to 12 weeks before your average first frost, or your average last frost of the year. So we want to give you the information so you can get started off right and have good leeks and onions.
So take this information and apply it in a few months, a couple months. Well, like what, two, three months?
Two and a half months or so.
So first of all, you need to determine what kind of onions you want to start.
Where you live.
Where you live. So we're not talking about like, oh, do I want to grow red or white or yellow onions? Yes, you probably want to determine that. But also, if you want to grow what's called either long day, neutral day, or midday, or short day onions. And it's not even if you want to grow them, if you want to have success.
If you want an onion.
So long day is for the upper portion of the United States. So long day onions are for us in the upper Midwest, or just the Midwest in general, Pacific Northwest, areas like that, New England.
You kind of go central Illinois and draw a line to Washington, D.C., kind of in that area. Most of those areas are going to be, and north, are long day onions. And then the middle of the portion of the United States is neutral or short, or neutral or midday onions. And the southern portion of the United States are short day onions. Now, this is all based on the number of light hours or sunlight hours the plant is receiving during that time of year.
Right. And so in the upper portion of the United States, we actually have more sunlight during the summer. And so that is important to know, because you might think, well, I'm in the south, so I need the long day onions. And it's kind of the opposite.
If you try to grow a long day in a short day, if you try to grow a long day in the south, you're going to get green tops, little onions. If you try to grow a short day in the north, you're going to get green tops and little onions. When you're in that middle portion, we've got a big listing audience in the Midwest area, in the Kansas City, in that Iowa, Nebraska area. You've got to figure out where you are actually located to figure out which of the onions are best, whether you need a neutral day or you are more towards the northern areas where a long day would be better. And to find out that specifically, you can do some research on your favorite search engine or call your local university extension office, and they will have the answer for you, what works best for your area. And that goes for any topic in regards to this type of thing.
Right. So that's one thing you want to consider. So once you've considered that, then you want to plant them again 10 to 12 weeks before your last average frost date, which for us is in January.
No, last average frost date is for us in April.
I mean, that's when we plant
them. We would start them. Yeah.
When we start them.
How do we start them?
You want to put them in a nice potting soil mix. You can do direct compost, but you want something that's going to feed them because they are going to be in that container for quite
3 to 4 months.
Yeah. So you want to use something that has a slowly release fertilizer, or compost would feed them just fine.
Now, this is if we're starting from seed, which we highly recommend. We find that you start them from seed, we've had phenomenal success. If you're going to get the sets or the starts, those would be purchased at the time that they're about ready to go in the ground from your local independent garden center. Now, there's a difference, Holly, between sets and starts. One, in our opinion, is really good if you can't do seeds, and the other one, not so much.
So sets are the ones that look like little small baby onions.
They're live plants. Some of them come in
sets are the small baby onions that look
bulblets.
Like, yeah, little bulblets. And they're okay to grow, but since onions are biannual, which means that they want to put up their flower every other year, sometimes when you plant those little bulbets, you'll get a plant that flowers quite quickly, and then you're not going to get an onion.
You're going to get an onion with a stalk going through of it. They're typically small bulbs. They're not going to produce you can't store them long term because there's the stalk going right through the onion. Those are coming in the netting material at your garden center. So we would not advise to do such because they've been harvested late fall, early winter, midwinter, bagged up. They've gone into dormancy. You've bought them. You've planted them. And now that onion's going, oh, I'm in my second year. It's time to produce seeds. Forget about anything else.
Right. So that is the onion sets. The onion starts look like a pack of pencils, basically.
They're live plants, bundled or in a tray that the garden center has started. Those are the second best thing instead of starting from seed if you don't have the capabilities or the light or all that stuff. Those are great. And garden centers are going to have the plants. Independent garden centers now are going to have the plants, the long day or the short day or the neutral day, that will grow in your area. Now, the big box store, on the other hand, not so much, because they will have long day, short day, and neutral day all in crates, all on a shelf. And we went through this back 10 years ago.
Well, probably about 7 years ago, but yeah.
And Holly went to a big box store to get some onions, and they had long day, short day, and neutral day. So we tweeted that big box store, and the big box store tweeted back and said, well, we want the consumer to pick the onion they want. Doesn't matter. I mean, it didn't matter to them if you were in the north and you needed a long day and you grew a short day. It was your fault because whatever, you wanted that onion. So you need to know what is best to grow in your area. Now, there's all different types of onions, Holly. There's sweet onions, there's red onions, white onions, yellow onions, and there's shallots. And each one of them are specific to a particular type of usage, basically.
Yeah, so you can usually, typically, red onions are for things like eating raw, adding to sandwiches, adding to salads, etc.
Good for red or purple are good for onion rings.
Onion rings, yeah. And then yellow onions are usually used for like cooking, making like casseroles, what have you, canning, things like that. And then white onions are kind of in between.
Right. Not that you can't use one for the other, but they're, you know, it's designed, they've been figured out that this is what works best for them. So how do we start ours? We'll go through our situation on how we start our seeds indoors. So we're typically in the middle of late January. We will get our potting mix, got a slow release fertilizer, and we will fill 1 gallon grow bags from rootmaker.com. You can use coupon code radio 21 to save 15% on your order. That coupon code may change next year, so you want to get them now, you can. 1 gallon grow bags, they have 1 to 60 gallon grow bags, but 1 gallon grow bag, we fill them, and the grow bags are about 8 inches tall, aren't they? They're about 8 inches tall and about 8 inches across,
yeah,
give or take.
About eight, yeah.
Three of those can set nicely in a 10 by 20 flat. So then we take about 200 onion seeds and broadcast on the top of that grow bag. We dust it with potting soil, moisten it, and then we put a paper towel over top of each of them. Then we moisten it again. What that paper towel is doing, it's serving two jobs here. One, you're moistening the soil, this with a little spritzer bottle, like you would, you know, with your hair, prior to putting the paper towel down, just to settle the potting soil. Then you put the paper towel down, and then you can actually water, not aggressively, but you can pour water over top, and it will percolate into the soil, through the grow bag, into the tray. And that paper towel is preventing the seeds from getting blown away and disrupting them and producing a mulch material. Once that paper towel dries, it gets kind of crusty, and it produces a barrier which greatly reduces the amount of evaporation your seeds are experiencing compared to if they were just opened and no covering on them at all. Kind of like leaves on a garden.
Right. So the paper towel helps retain that moisture.
When we take the paper towel off?
We take it off when they start to germinate.
Right.
So that takes
10 to
a couple weeks, essentially.
Yeah.
Between a week and a half to 2 weeks. And so then we put them under our grow light.
Happy Leaf LED grow lights.
And
made in America.
And you don't have to put them under the grow light until they start to germinate.
Correct.
So if you're like,
you don't need a grow light.
You don't need a grow light either.
But boy, oh boy, does it make a job really easy and make happy, healthy plants.
But what I'm saying is that if you're like me and sometimes you thrive in chaos and you know, I got to plant these onions, but I have my grow light ready or I have my area ready. Well, you can plant the onions and then you got, 2 weeks.
Right.
Until you might want to give them some light, or you do want to give them some light. So you can grow on a Happy Leaf grow light, which is an amazing tool. And
I mean, we did it for years without the Happy Leaf, but if you have good equipment and the Happy Leaf will last forever, it works phenomenal.
You can also do this in a windowsill.
Right.
North-facing window is going to be a little bit challenging. You'll get your best result in a south-facing window or an east or west facing window.
Now, with leeks, everything is the same. However, there is no category in which leeks have to be grown in certain geographical areas. If you've got an American flag leek, it will grow the same in Phoenix as it will in Boston, as it will in Seattle. So you can grow them. You'll start them at the same time, 10 to 12 weeks before your last average frost, and then you can put them in the ground. We grew, I forget what the name of those the leeks were. They were mammoth leeks.
American flag?
American flag. Yeah. And then we grew a new variety this year that was literally 3 inches in diameter.
I don't remember, but boy, they were good.
And leeks, the interesting part of leeks is in the United States, we are trained that you only eat the bleached part of the leek. In all other countries in the world, you eat the entire leek. The leek is edible, regardless if it's white or green, and we utilize that aspect. We use the whole leek. We clean up and make sure we get all the bad leaves and make it all clean and pretty, and then we process it, and we use the entire leek.
Right. So you want to keep all of this in mind when you are starting your onions and leeks. And again, you want to think about 10 to 12 weeks before your last average frost date, whatever that is. So you figure out, you go to your favorite search engine, type in USDA growing zone frost dates, and you put your zip code, and it's going to tell you this is your last average frost date, and then you back that off about 2.5 to 3 months.
And works very well. If you have questions, keep in mind that the email address, gardentalkradio@gmail.com, and the hotline, 1-800-927-SHOW, is open year-round. And if you go to our parent website, the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener, .com, and in the upper right corner in the search bar, put onion planting. We've got about a dozen videos on how we do it and how it's done very successfully and the whole process.
Right. So with that being said, the Gardening with Julie and Holly radio show is brought to you today by our sponsor, Walton's Inc. Listen, we know you care about where your food comes from. Canning and preserving fruits and vegetables is great, but what about the meat? At waltonsinc.com, you can get all the equipment, seasoning, and supplies to make sausage, jerky, and any other meat product your way to your high standards. Do you want to make snack sticks that people will actually like? Walton's created meatgistics.com, an informational site to help you make the best finished product. Walton's even has a full line of their own meat grinders, mixers, and sausage stuffers to help you go from animal to edible. Walton's, everything but the meat. That's waltonsinc.com and meatgistics.com.
Waltonsinc.com. They've got a coupon code for you, whether you're a hunter or fisherman, whatever you do, lady hunter. I don't know what the terminology of lady hunter is. A hunter.
Doesn't have to be genderized.
And or you want spice or anything, use coupon code GROW22, GROW, numeral 22, at checkout and save 10% off your order of orders over $50 and receive free shipping. When we come back, we're going to learn a little bit more about who Holly and myself are without giving you too much information. You're listening to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
Got a question for Joey and Holly? Send it via email anytime to gardentalkradio@gmail.com.
Do your trees look sad? When we here at the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show gardens have tree and shrub issues, Dr. Jim's is the product we reach for, as it is the product that works. It really provides results. Their small batch, extra potent blend of readily available nutrients is exactly what your trees, plants, and bushes need to regain their health and stay bug-free. It's super easy to use. It feeds the microbes and adds new life to your soil so you can grow stronger plants. Chemical-free, environmentally responsible fertilizer, that works. It will put a smile on you and your plants. To find out more about Tree Secret and other products, visit drjims.com. That's drjimz.com.
The number one key to healthy, productive plants are the roots. Starting from seed to full-grown plants, RootMaker.com has the answer. From seed starting trays with an innovative design that air prunes the roots, creating a fabulous root system, never again will you have root-bound plants to multiple gallon grow bag sizes to raised beds. RootMaker.com has your grow needs covered. Visit RootMaker.com. Use coupon code RADIO21 and get 15% off your entire order.
Pomona's Universal Pectin is a high-quality pectin that gels reliably with low amounts of any sweetener. If you're trying to reduce the amount of sugar in your diet, you'll love Pomona's Universal Pectin. Now you can make healthy homemade jams and jellies sweetened to your taste. You can use sugar or honey to sweeten. Pomona's Universal Pectin keeps indefinitely when stored in an airtight container. Easy to use, versatile, and comes with directions and recipes in every box. Find out more and where to buy at PomonaPectin.com. Also available at natural food stores and online. Straight from the farm, fields, and briar patch, Piper and Leaf Artisan Tea is a tea like you've never imagined it. Get our award-winning tea delivered right to your front door and become part of the Piper and Leaf family. Free shipping over $75 at PiperandLeaf.com.
Turf experts always say lawn season begins in the fall. It's the time to help grasses recover from summer stresses and thicken up so it can come back strong in the spring. This fall, you can fertilize, aerate, and dethatch your lawn using just one fantastic liquid product. It's called Lawn Force 5, a five-way lawn care kit in a bottle. Lawn Force 5 gives you a lush, healthy lawn you can be proud of. It improves your soil in a way that gives your lawn great color, using 75% less nitrogen than typical lawn fertilizers. Visit our friends at natureslawn.com to find out more about this amazing Lawn Force 5 product. That's natureslawn.com. The Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Pro Plugger, Dripworks, Walton's Incorporated, Tree Diaper, Janie's Mill, Phylum Bioproducts, Chapin Manufacturing Incorporated, Nature's Lawn and Garden Incorporated, Deer Defeat, Dr. Jim's, Root Maker. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Thank you for being with us today. Tree Diaper is an innovative device that helps watering your plants with little effort on your part. TreeDiaper.com.
Tree Diaper is a revolutionary watering system that slowly releases water around the base of any tree or plant as the soil dries. The tree diaper is filled with water from rain, or when you water and slowly releases water over 3 weeks. Every time it rains, tree diaper recharges. No pipes, hoses, or electricity needed. Water your plants and trees, whether they are by the house, down the road, or in the back 40. Also works under mulch. Whether you're a first-time gardener or advanced, tree diaper will improve the way you water your plants. Made in the USA, you can find all the sizes they have available at treediaper.com. That's treediaper.com.
A great little tool to have for a number of different, whether you're vegetable, flower. They even have ones for containers like in your house or on a patio porch or deck. Very unique and creative and effective. We've used it, and that's how we got butternut squash, spaghetti squash, and the squirrels got Delectica squash because of the tree diaper.
So, Joey.
Yeah.
Tell me where you're from.
All right. This is a segment. We're going to, you know, one of the last segments here on season five. We figured, you know, you guys have supported us, and maybe you didn't know a whole lot about us, or maybe you didn't care to know a whole lot about us, but we're going to tell you a little bit about who we are to kind of close the gap there so you can have a little more information. I am from Southern Illinois, from the Sparta area. That's about an hour or north-ish from SIU Carbondale, Southern Illinois University, and about 60 miles southeast of St. Louis, Missouri. Where are you from, Holly?
I'm from southwest Milwaukee.
Okay.
So I grew up in the little suburb of West Allis. It's not really little, but I grew up
where the tractors used to be made.
Yeah, where the tractors, Alice Chalmers tractors, yep, used to be made. And not too far from the state fairgrounds. So yeah, that's where I'm from. And let's see, what's the other question?
What are your hobbies, Holly?
My hobbies, aside from gardening, are I like to go hiking.
Well, I don't know if gardening is a hobby. It's more of a career for us, but we'll get into that.
We'll just call it a hobby.
All right.
I like to go hiking. I like to shop and go
Is there a specific type of trail that you look for when you hike, or certain criteria you look for when you're going to go hiking?
Just that it's not super long. I like to enjoy the nature versus like marathon hike. Mm-hmm. And then also depends on where I'm in the mood to go. If I want something that's more shady and wooded, or maybe a little bit more sunshine. Yeah. Or how far I want to drive.
And you're a subscriber to a number of, what is it, national parks in the area, or? You got the little sticker in the windshield to show that
the Wisconsin State Park System.
Yes.
Yes.
Is it true in most states that in order to partake in those type of areas, you have to pay a certain fee yearly in order to hike on those trails, or how does that work?
I'm assuming. I think you can get state park stickers for all states.
Okay.
That you want.
But that's
to.
The purpose, that you park, yeah, there and they see the sticker and, okay, you're a legit person. Yeah. You've done your due diligence.
Otherwise, you get a ticket.
Right.
Yeah.
No joke.
No, you do. You,
yeah,
get a ticket.
Right, right.
Yeah. And it's usually the cost of the sticker or so.
So get the sticker and, yeah, be done with it. Hobbies. Oh. Go ahead. You got more hobbies.
More hobbies.
Yeah, you got more hobbies.
I like to shop, and I like to spend time with my niece and nephew. And I like to spend time with my friends, going on little adventures as well. I don't know what my other hobbies are.
You're a yoga girl.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I like to do fitness and yoga.
And you're learning how to teach yoga.
I am learning how to teach yoga. So that's been a fun adventure. And I hope to eventually expand my knowledge with that after this point. So, yeah.
There you go. For me,
I don't even know what your hobbies are.
I don't think I have any hobbies.
Your hobbies are NASCAR.
Well, yeah, I'm a big NASCAR fan. Well, any type of motorsports I watch. IndyCar is good. NASCAR. Tony Stewart used to be the driver, and then he retired. And I guess if I had to pick one now, I guess Chase Elliott would be. I know people may not like that at all because of things that are going on right now. But
you like to play video games on your phone.
Yeah, I found a website that you can. You can play old vintage console games for free, like the N64 games. I grew up in that era. Found that the other day. So in 007, GoldenEye, and you can do the wrestling ones. You can do all of those WCW and WWF ones. So pretty neat.
Current events are your hobbies, too. You love talking about current events.
Well, nobody listens, but I like talking about
them.
Right. Yeah. Everybody's got an opinion, and sometimes it's not always the best opinion. So
yours isn't always the best opinion either.
Well, sometimes the right opinion is not always the most popular one.
Anyway, So what is your, what is and, our, what?
Well, I guess hobbies right now, I guess hobbies would be, I'm into, and we kind of are both into this, collecting old radios and canning jars. Not just any canning jars. You know, we got unique, vintage, Odyssey canning jars. We got the 1 gallon, the 2 gallon, the 4 gallon canning jars, canning jars that are pitchers. Different, you know, old wire jars that are unique, and collecting old radios as well. We've got a couple of radios here in the studio. RCA Victor 811 from 1937, a Strongberg Carlson 11A from 1929, Feltco. Those are both floor radios.
Okay.
And the Crosby is the new one that we got, which is a 819M. It's,
so that's more your hobby, more, the radios. You, I think they're neat, but
you
I don't.
Allow them to be in the studio, and we've got room for one more.
First of all, don't act like I'm the over-controlling wife here. You do all of the decor around here.
Right.
And
right.
I just sit here.
And we've got room for one more floor radio. I'm looking for an RCA Victor
K19. It's got to be pretty.
Yeah, I know. And little tabletop radios too, but that's kind of the thing right now is to collect unique floor radios, not like just grab anything and get a hold of. But we've got some very unique ones here,
and then we got some old jars that are fun to collect too. So, what aside from that, what would you say is our favorite thing to do as a couple besides garden and look at old jars?
We like watching TV together, or I guess watching TV is watching streaming things on TV. The term watching TV and sitting down to watch a half-hour sitcom, I guess, is not as common and familiar nowadays, but we'll watch certain series of programming on streaming services. We enjoy that.
Right. We also like to, sometimes we go mini golfing.
Mini
together.
Golfing, yeah.
Or just, we used to go out to eat together more.
Yeah, back when you know what happened. So, yeah.
So that's one thing. And then, watching TV together. And then sometimes we have certain YouTube channels that we watch together. We're so
simple.
Very simple.
And there's nothing wrong with simple.
No, not at all. And we like to spend time with our niece and nephew together too. Yeah.
But you know, it's like that, and we'll get to that. Did we always garden, Holly?
Yes.
Did you always garden?
Yeah, ever since I was a wee teenager, maybe
a wee
younger.
Teenager.
Maybe younger, like, I don't know, like a preteen, something like that.
With your postage stamp backyard in West Allis, Wisconsin.
Right. Tiny backyard. We had like a 4x4 garden, and this blows Joey's mind. On Memorial Day weekend, we'll just toss the seeds in the ground.
The seeds. No plant starts. Oh, you want tomatoes? Throw a tomato seed in the ground.
It works. We had tomatoes and cucumbers and beans and all sorts of stuff. Zucchini. So, it works. I don't know why this blows your mind, but
because it's there's certain things that you get or you start as plant starts to get a jump start on the system. But okay, just throw the seeds in the ground.
Whatever. So, what was the question?
What did we always garden?
Oh, yeah. I know you did.
Yeah, we grew up on a farm, Southern Illinois, 1,000-acre tillable farm. At that time, we'd always grew a garden. It was always a large garden. You always canned 40 quarts of ketchup and cucumbers or pickles and grapes and juice and everything in between. And still at that time, we had 2,000 head of hogs and 300 head of cattle and 1,000 tillable acres. Farm is still in operation. The hogs are no longer, and now they're 500 head of cattle and still 1,000 tillable acres of land down there that still work as operational every day. But we always grew a garden and fruit trees. We had fruit trees and beans and onions, the whole deal.
Grapes,
yeah, that was a big thing. And always didn't have a garden. It's just kind of a staple for most farms. You have a garden.
Now that I think about it, I remember when I went to go visit your parents' house the first time.
When we,
you showed me the greenhouse. In my brain, I was like, this seems a little excessive.
The greenhouse was twice as big as your garden.
But and then for the romantic people, like the romance stories, when we were dating, you kept bringing me cherry tomatoes because you knew tomatoes are like one of my favorite.
Right.
So that kept me around.
That's what kept you around. The tomatoes is what sealed the deal.
Yes.
All right. Day jobs, Holly. What is your day job?
My day job is I am a data analyst and I work in the business growth department of the company I work for. I've been with my company for almost 5 years. I like what I do. I've been working from home now since for the last year and a half.
That doesn't look like it's going to change. It's going to be more of a permanent stature.
Yeah. And I took me a while to adjust to that, but I enjoy it now. And
the commute is real nice.
The commute is nice. It's nice not having to think about, like, oh, what am I going to pack for my lunch?
One room and through the kitchen and there you are.
Right. I like to shower on my lunch sometimes. So, I enjoy that. That's my day job. And I hope to be a yoga instructor at some point in the near future. But I'm not going to quit my day job to do that. That's what I do. It's not the most thrilling job. I enjoy it. I'm very good at it. And, I like what I do.
And this is what I do full time. And Holly helps when she can during off work hours. And we've hired a friend of ours to also help in the acquiring sponsorship dollars to pay for the airtime. We are not what you call syndicated, meaning that the network or a network that a certain host is on all stations across the country, that network pays that host a certain fee, and then they insert commercials in because that host is bringing in so many listeners. We are independent contractors, I guess you would call it. And we search out stations that we want to be on, negotiate a deal, find sponsors in order that want to be a part of the program. They pay for the airtime. And then I do that about 7 months out of the year in order to get an 8-month show put together. And then with the production and the promotion and everything that goes on, we do everything with this show except for push the button to make it go on the air. That's pretty much... We do everything but push the button to make, you know, air. We're on live air. So that's what I do. And then we're already planning. I mean, we've been planning and working since August for season 6 next year. And we'll talk about that in segment 4 a little bit more so you know what's going on there. But that's what I do. I do this full time. I'm a radio host and a producer and an editor and a whatever you want, marketing, whatever you want to call it. That's what I do.
So, with that being said, I just want to state that you might think, wow, do you actually make money doing that? And it did take us some time.
Yes.
But, you know, a lot of people are like, is that a risk? And yeah, yes, it is a risk. But, you know, sometimes you just have to take risks in life to have some happiness and not think about how... especially if you are in a partner situation where maybe one of you can have the 9-to-5 and a little bit of stability and the other one can grow a business. And it's not that Joey has grown the business himself. I've certainly been there the whole way along and I've helped more, but,
I worked prior to 2017, I worked in a warehouse and it was a horrible experience.
Well, that's the other thing is that there was many times where he would come home and be an absolute grump and was very not very pleasant to be around at times. And now he's very happy. And at the time
healthier
when he was,
too.
And probably healthier too. And
mentally,
yes. And at that time I was actually working towards my most recent bachelor's degree. So you kind of trade things off. Sometimes maybe one person supports the other one more financially and that's okay. And now
this is a legitimate business.
Yeah, we're a legitimate business.
We're a legitimate business. This is what we do.
But I just want to encourage people, you know, sometimes it's okay to live an outside of the box life. However, that
how long do you, and obviously things are, you know, but my piece of advice is how long do you want to do something that you absolutely hate and you can't do something you love because it's a little bit of a risk you think it's a little too risky in order to quit what you're doing to do something you love or enjoy a whole lot more than what you are currently doing.
Exactly. And there's many ways that you can go about that.
Well, with that being said, fall is here. Kids are back in school. Yard has been forgotten, Holly. And if we forget about our yard, those Japanese beetles are laughing at us because they're ready to come back next spring.
Well, just because it's fall, we don't want to forget about our yards and those Japanese beetles either. They may be gone, but they're not far. They feasted on your roses and berries.
Oh, they devastated them.
Summer, they laid eggs in your turf. You found them in your beach bag. You want to take a stand with Phylum's Grubgon. Grubgon is a non-chemical BT granular that specifically targets scare pests and their larvae. Simply apply the granule with a spreader, irrigate it into the soil, and let the naturally occurring bacteria do its job.
Not only is Grubgon easy to use and apply, the best part about it, it has zero restrictions. And it's safe for beneficial insects and butterflies, pollinators, and it does not and it has zero water toxicity. It's great to fix the problem before the problem persists. That's Grubgon from phylumbioproducts.com. That's P-H-Y-L-L-O-M bioproducts.com. It's the natural choice. Hang out. Stay with us. Robert Kirk will be with us right after this quick message.
Garden question? Give Joey and Holly a call now or anytime 24/7. Just dial 1-800-927-SHOW. If you can't get through, leave a message and they will call you back. Call now, 1-800-927-SHOW.
Protect your plants against damage with a 3-in-1 plant guard and special blend fertilizer. Visit ivyorganics.com.
Brought to you by Blue Ribbon Organics, providing locally made organic compost and soil blends for gardens, farms, landscaping, and more. Visit BlueRibbonOrganics.com or call 262-497-8539 to find their products nearest you. The Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Simply Earth, Seed Savers Exchange, Quick Snap Sprinklers, Water Hoop, Timber Pro Coatings, Bloom and Easy Plants, Pomona Universal Pectin, Ivy Organics, Tiger Torch, Happy Leaf LED, SeedLink. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Garden with Joy and Holly radio show. Moments away, Robert Kirk. But first, it's still warm. Yellow jackets can still attack. Rescue has the product that will help you with that situation.
As we come to the end of summer with these dry months, you'll notice more aggressive yellow jackets. They've been flying around. Yellow jackets are looking for anything from your barbecue meats. Maybe you're outside with some hot sweet tea or any other water source. You can keep them at bay with the Rescue Yellow Jacket traps. Rescue Yellow Jacket traps are an eco-friendly do-it-yourself option to keep those stinging pests away from you. These traps use a powerful lure for yellow jackets and will not attract beneficial honeybees. All rescue products are made in the USA. You can go to rescue.com where you can find the Rescue Yellow Jacket traps and other pest control solutions. That's rescue.com.
Holly, let's go to the hotline and bring in our guest for this week.
Robert Kirk is an avid gardener, landscape designer, author, and organic grower. He is also a horticultural researcher and passionate about sustainable food gardens. His most recent book, Sustainable Food Gardens, is full of great information. Welcome to the program, Robert.
Hi, Holly. Hi, Joey.
Well, we thank you for taking time out of your very busy schedule, not only to educate Holly and myself, but all of our listeners across the country. We thank you for the time you're going to offer us.
No problem.
So let's just dive right into this. You encourage people to use drip irrigation instead of hand watering or using a hose. Why is this, and what are some good tips for those who haven't yet found the world of drip irrigation?
Okay, well, basically, if you use drip irrigation properly, you can get at least 20% greater yields than using a hose or hand watering. Of course, you save upwards to 50% water, but like one woman was growing chilies, she used 38% less water with her drip, but got 48% more chilies. So the basic guideline is to control the drip irrigation system based on the weather, not just guessing, oh, I think I'll do 15 minutes. And so you base it on the weather, and if you get a drought, so-called drought of 2 to 4 weeks, several times a summer, you can pretty much justify a drip system, I think.
Now, do you recommend putting a mulch over top of the drip irrigation system, or what would you recommend in that situation?
In the best situation is to put the drip down on top of the soil and then mulch over the drip tubing so it doesn't get sunlight. The ultraviolet light can degrade the material over a 10-year period.
That's some great information. Now, you speak a lot about edible landscaping. What is that, and how is that different than just growing a veggie garden?
Well, the main guideline to edible landscaping is more growing things in clusters and plantings and not in rows, like a long row of corn, more of a cluster of corn. Or you can also do things like ornamental cabbages this time of year, so you have the color of the cabbage, but not necessarily planted in a straight line. In fact, one of my friends grew ornamental cabbage in what they call the hell strip, the area between the street and the sidewalk, and he had a lot to eat, and nobody stole his cabbage.
Yeah, people are not familiar with, just because it says ornamental, that doesn't mean it's not edible.
Exactly, good point.
And when we're talking about edible landscape, we're not really talking about hiding the plants in amongst, you know, flowers or shrubs or anything like that. We're just growing multiple
things?
No,
some people say, oh, you got to stick everything together. But the problem with mixing them too much is if you have a lettuce tucked amongst the other ornamentals, oftentimes you forget where it is until it's too late and you see the seed head coming up.
Right.
And then it's too bitter to eat. Yeah.
Time and effort wasted because you tried to do too much and you should have just kind of made it a little more simpler.
Yes, yes. Like, we have to use raised beds where I live because the gophers eat the roots, so we do raised beds of wood with wire bottoms. But in an edible landscape, they'd be more put out, let's say, in a big arc, as opposed to lining them up in straight lines and rows.
Now, with that, I guess it's called, some people will term it gopher wire. Is it a certain gauge of wire, a certain thickness, or are you just trying to create any type of resistance from the gophers going up into the raised bed?
It needs to be half inch or smaller. You can use what's called aviary wire. Chicken wire, they don't go below 1 inch, but aviary wire, you can find it half inch, or you can use hardware cloth. Hardware cloth is a lot more expensive, but it has a heavier gauge, and aviary wire has a heavier gauge than chicken wire.
The little more expense may, in the long run, prevent a lot of anger and frustration from the gophers into the raised bed.
Yeah, the anger reduction is very important.
Yes. Yeah, very much so.
Well, your newest book is full of great information as we look through it. It is called Sustainable Food Gardens. What is it about, and what can you tell us that would encourage our listeners to pique their interest to pick up a copy?
Great. Well, basically the subtitle is Organic Gardening Myths and Solutions. So it applies to both any type of gardening relative to food, but it's really geared towards organic gardeners and trying to separate the myths from the realities. And I use an awful lot of citations because the book is very based on science, as opposed to anecdotal information. So you'll find very few gardening books with as many citations as my book, so you can look up anything in detail that you'd like to find more information about.
So when we talk about garden myths and your passion for this book, for people who are curious like me, how long and how much in-depth work went into producing a book that has this type of knowledge in it?
Well, basically, it's sort of like a summary of my last 40 years of work. But I started 10 years ago writing the book a little bit, but I really went deep into it with the pandemic. So it took about 18 months to write and to lay out. I do all the page layout. So 18 months and 10, 20 hours a day, it seemed like.
Okay, so we are talking with Robert Kurek. He's a author, avid gardener, and organic grower.
So we love no-till gardening, and we understand that you are in that same element, that you love it as well. Why would you encourage gardeners to look at a no-till gardening method rather, and is there a place for tilling in the garden?
Yes, there. I'm not a church of no-till. I believe that you pick the method to suit your needs. I have a lot of data in my books about the fact that the soil biota is very prolific in the top 4 inches, but drops drastically as you go 4 more inches deep, sometimes by 50% less microbes in the second 4 inches than the first 4 inches. And when you till the soil, you can destruct the microbes or make it difficult for them to live. But you can get a lot of value out of legumes by tilling them in as a green manure. So you grow the legume till it's 4, 5, 6 inches high. Then you till it in, and then you can let it rest for a few weeks, and then you can plant so that you can increase your nitrogen content for free.
And with those microbes, the key element to a healthy microbes is good organic material in the soil. I know like Florida has like 1 inch of organic material. We have 3 or 4 inches. How can people safely and organically build the levels of organic material in their garden, cost effectively?
Yeah. Well, basically, green manuring can really speed things up fast. You just have to pay for the seed, and it doesn't take much seed to cover a small area. Next way to go is to do deep mulches and allow them to rot in place and improve the soil from the top down. If you really want to speed things up, I grow food on straw bales, and let the bales rot down, and they become like compost, and they develop the soil from the top down very rapidly.
Yeah, we find the straw bales for people who want little work. Straw bale gardening seems to be the mindset of that kind of individual. I want something easy but effective. Straw bales, if done right, works really well.
Yes. You have to get enough nitrogen on top of the straw to start it decomposing. But if you do that right, like I grew potatoes in great quantity on top of straw bales.
So we love garden myths and debunking them, and I know your book is based on a lot of that. What is maybe your favorite or biggest garden myth, or both, and the truth behind it?
Well, I like to say the aphids don't suck, that they're not actually a sucking insect. They have mouth parts that open and close, and so it's dependent upon the sap pressure for the sap to get into the aphid and come out. Now, why is that important? Well, the more you increase your nitrogen, the more you increase the sap pressure. So after a certain level of nitrogen, you've got so much sap pressure that you can support a much higher colony of aphids. So it really shows you how important keeping the nutrition balanced is.
And that's why there are instructions on the back of fertilizer bags, because a little is good, a lot doesn't mean it's better.
Exactly, especially nitrogen. A little bit of extra phosphorus or potash can actually reduce aphids.
And that's the second and third number on all fertilizer bags for those who are unfamiliar with how that is registered and scored on a bag. In the process of making the book, was there any things that absolutely floored you, surprised you, that you thought, wow, how come I didn't know that already?
Oh, well, I found an awful lot of citations about research studies that showed that beneficial insects can travel 50 feet, 100 feet, 500 feet into the field next to them, so that you really don't have to have plants in the sense of companion planting. You don't have to have them touching or right next to each other. So like what I do now in designs is I make flower gardens near the perimeter of the vegetable garden or the food, and the flower gardens become cut flowers, but also there's beneficial insect attractant. So we know a lot more about what flowers attract what beneficial insects, but they don't have to be clustered right on top of the food garden.
Well, we really appreciate your time with us today, Robert. How can people find out more about you, and when and where can they pick up your great new book?
Great. Well, I have a detailed website, which is my name, no space, robertkourick.com, and it's K-O-U-R-I-K. And I have the book on there right now as a prelim price of 30% off list, so you can save a lot of money. And actually, it's cheaper than anything on Amazon. So go to my website, robertkourick.com. www.garden-focusedradio.com.
And you will not be disappointed when you purchase the book. It's a good read. You got a lot of time over the winter to study it and learn things that you thought you already knew, but now Robert has corrected that knowledge so you can be a better gardener.
Yeah, it has 386 pages, so it'll take a while to go through.
Absolutely. Well, Robert, we greatly appreciate the time you've offered us and the knowledge you've shared, not only with Holly and myself, but all of our listeners across the country.
Great. I really enjoyed it, Joey. And thanks, Holly.
Absolutely. And when we come back, it's going to be your garden questions. And when we come back, we've got some thank yous to dish out. You're listening to the Garden with Joey and Holly radio show.
Got a question for Joey and Holly? Send it via email anytime to gardentalkradio@gmail.com.
You move your lawn sprinklers all over the yard, but you always end up putting them in the same spots. Why not just bury them there? Out of sight, always ready to use, pre-adjusted to water the precise areas you want. Quick Snap Sprinklers makes it easy. In-ground sprinklers without the hassle or expense of laying pipe. Put the sprinklers anywhere in your lawn or garden. Snap on a hose to supply the water. Water on, it pops up. Water off, it drops below ground. You can mow right over it. You can have a buried sprinkler system up and running in just minutes. Each Quick Snap saves thousands of dollars. They install in minutes and operate for years. Visit quicksnapsprinkler.com. Rinse Kit, your hose on the go, pressurized water at your fingertips. Without pumping or battery, simply fill from your spigot or sink on your way out to the garden, beach, or anywhere. Spray it, wash it, Rinse Kit. The Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Blue Ribbon Organics, Naturally Green Products, Ironwood Tool Company, Easy Step Products, Rinse Kit, Soul Brew Kombucha, Wild Delight, Rykon Vitova, Chip Drop, Bailbuster.com. Find all sponsors at the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show, our final segment of our final show for season 5. We done it, Holly. Made it through 35 weeks, coming to you each and every week with content that was valuable and crucial to the health and well-being of your garden. Hope we entertained you as well as educated you, and we all laughed along the way and had a good time. We got some thank yous to dish out and some information to provide to let you know what's going on for next year in season 6. Do you have anything you want to say before I dive into that?
I know you usually have like some big lists, but I just want to thank you all for listening and or watching or however you
contributing
absorb our information. We really, really appreciate it, and we really appreciate when you call in with questions.
Without you, this can't be done, because
message us on social media. This is my thank you time.
Yes, go ahead.
Message us on social media. My coworkers who send me messages and, you know, have questions, whatever, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, we appreciate you listening. And even if you've never interacted with us, we are really grateful for that. And then I'm just grateful for my friends who have supported us and are, even if they don't garden and they're like, I listen to your show, I watch your YouTube videos, whatever. Yeah, that's just, you know, so amazing.
Your friend
and,
Laura does
my friend Laura. Yeah, she does our voiceover stuff, and just all the supportive people in my life who are like, I didn't know this, I learned this, and now when I get a house, I'm going to garden, or I decided to grow some herbs in my windowsill, or I decided to try this, and we appreciate that.
So we come and do this every year because, you know, we want to thank you, because if you don't listen, and there's a lot of you that have bought sponsored products, and the reason why we get to do this is because you've bought the products that the companies who are providing the finances to air the program, they're seeing that, and without that, this doesn't happen. It's a two-way street. We provide you product, we provide a platform, they give you a product, you think the product's good, you buy it and you use it, and it is good because we only give and provide good sponsors. We only reach out to good sponsors. So we thank you for that. We thank God, because without this, it's all a faith thing. There's I haven't had, and I think Holly, you figured this out. I haven't had many jobs in my life, but but there's two that absolutely requires faith. Is farmer, because you need rain, you don't know when that's coming, and two, radio host, independent contracting, independent radio host, because you don't know if you're going to get the funding you need to pay for the next season of airtime.
It's kind of funny because I was doing the math the other day, and I was like, Joe, you've only worked for like a handful of people, and I think I've worked for three times as many as people as Joey has, and we're the same age.
Right.
So,
faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the things not yet seen, whether that you're waiting for rain or you're trying to make a radio show happen. A lot of faith, a lot of prayers go up, and you don't know, I'm paraphrasing, you have not because you ask not. And the Bible talks about if you ask, do not worry, but take all things to the Lord in prayer. And if he finds favor, he will grant your request. I'm paraphrasing that terribly, but that's essentially what it is. Now, that doesn't mean that if you pray for $1 billion and 12 Lamborghinis, that they're going to wind up in your mailbox and in your driveway. You know, there's a balance there. But that's where we're at. That's how we balance the concern that we have whether or not we are able to acquire the funding that we need for the for the airtime. And we want to thank the sponsors that supported this year. Some are coming back, some are not, but Pro Plugger, Dripworks, Walton's Incorporated, Tree Diaper, Janie's Mill, Phylum Bio Products, Nature's Lawn and Garden, Chapin Manufacturing Incorporated, Deer Defeat, Dr. Jim's, Root Maker, Simply Earth, Seed Savers Exchange, Quick Snap Sprinklers, Water Hoop, Timber Pro Coatings, Bloomin' Easy Onions, Bloomin' Easy Plants, Pomona, Universal Pectin, Ivy Organics, Tiger Torch, Happy Leaf LED Grow Lights, Seed Linked, Blue Ribbon Organics, Naturally Green Products, Ironwood Tool Company, Easy Step Products, Cousins Compost, North Spore, Piper and Leaf Tea, Yard Glider, and Rescue is and Bell Buster, Chip Drop, Rycon Vitova, Wild Delight, Soul Brew, Kombucha, and Rinskin. We had 37 companies believe in us this year to allow us to do what we enjoy doing, is bringing you content that is applicable for your gardening world. And the downloads have been incredible this year, record high that we've ever had in the 5 years we've done this. And I got to thank Holly for being part of the program, because she doesn't have to be part of the program.
Why don't I have to be part of the program?
You can choose not to be part of the program, but you and I get to do something that a lot of husbands and wives don't get to do.
We're a team.
I know. Some husbands and wives don't see that. The husband goes, does what he wants to do. The wife goes, does what she wants to do. But they never do things together.
Oh.
That's where I'm getting at.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
I got to thank Joey for being such a good co-host. And always, sometimes he has to break things down for me, because mm-hmm. we've been together for a long time. And we'll be celebrating our 11th wedding anniversary this year in a couple months. So
some people get that two or three times in a lifetime, 11th anniversary.
And we've been through a lot together. And, yeah, I can't imagine not being his teammate.
And next year, let's give you a little information about what's coming up next year. Season 6 will kick off the March 5th weekend and run through the end of October. And we will be on all the stations you're listening to us right now. Utah, KYH 540 AM, will be moving from 1 p.m. local time to 9 a.m. local time on Saturday mornings. Replay will be Sundays, still 1 to 2. We will be in the market in Cleveland, Ohio, Akron, Ohio, all the way down the eastern state line, all the way down to the Pittsburgh market on WHKW 1220 AM and 96.9 FM, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern time, local time there. And then Minneapolis, we're changing stations. We're going from 1590 to Progressive Talk 950 a.m., and that'll be from 7 to 8 a.m. on Saturday mornings. All of the times will be listed on our parent website under the Season 6 tab at the top of the page in January, and there'll be some additional replay times that'll be listed that we're still working through some of the nitty-gritty on that with the stations. But next year we'll be on 17 stations in some part of 24 states. So until next year.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
You're supposed to say, because I said that I couldn't imagine not being your teammate. You're supposed to say the same thing.
Oh, I say the same thing.
Yeah.
I can't imagine not being doing this.
I mean, if you mean it genuinely.
Yes, I mean it genuinely. Yes. So with that being said, until next year, for
Holly Baird,
I'm Joy Baird, and we will see you in the garden. Thank you, and we'll see you next year.